we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled, God Positioning His People, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the Book of Ruth and the Book of Esther. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Lord Jesus, as we just come before you, Lord, we are excited, although confused, about Esther, Lord. We're excited about what we see you doing in the book of Esther, but at the same time, Lord, we don't understand why it has to be this way. But Lord, you have all the answers, and you are going to just instill in us, Lord, those things that you want to change in us. Lord, you want to bring us into submission. You want to bring us into meditation, meditating on your word. You want to bring us into that place, Lord, where we let go of the things of the past. You want to bring us to that place where we only bring the stuff that you want us to take along with us, Lord, and we leave all the other stuff behind. And so, Lord, we want to focus in on what you are doing in this book, and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so your homework gave you all kinds of information, didn't it? You got all kinds of things about the book of Esther when you were doing your homework. And so I don't have to go over a lot of that sort of thing. Years ago, Bill was trying to teach me how to play chess. And I'm not a very good chess player. So a friend came over one day while Bill was at work. We were visiting, and they said, I can show you how to beat him in 3 moves. So I learned how to do it in 3 moves. So when he came home from work that day, you want to play a little chess? And as I made the second move, he went, okay, where'd you get that? Where did it come from? But the thing that I learned about chess is the queen is the most important piece on the board. And that's the case here. The queen is the most important piece in this story. It is the queen. It is about the queen. So we come to the place, it's 4 years later. Some people say it was 3 years later, but it's 4 years later. So you know in your homework that you have all of this information already there. But this chapter shows the beginnings of how important that queen is. And in this chapter, it's so clear that everything about these chapters are just messed up. Everything about Esther feels, at this point, is just messed up. And I got that from, I was listening to Dominic Dinger. He has a podcast. And he was talking about Esther, and that was the phrase that he used to help me understand what's going on here. It was a messed up time. So when all of these things happen in here, and this happened, and they went to that place, and they went to that place, and they gathered these up, it's messed up. We have to pay attention to the spiritual condition of where they were. Remember this, the timing of this, that they were right in the middle of all of that. And so we meet Mordecai in this, and Mordecai is going to take the place of the Holy Spirit in the way that we speak about him. He's going to take that place of the Holy Spirit. He was about, his name means one who is concerned, one who is concerned. And he's about 40 years old. He had raised Esther, it says, and he was her cousin. We'll get into that. And she gets to be taken as a contestant. We have no idea about, no indication of Esther's feelings about this or even her feelings about the king. She's believed to have been about 20 years old at this time. So with all of that information, let's just get into our scripture here. After these things, after what things? In your homework, you realize that after these things, after all of the stuff happened with Vashti, and then they went to war, and they failed miserably, after these things happened, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus subsided, he remembered Vashti. That's what happens when we get carried away with alcohol and anger. Alcohol and anger, he must have been just maybe not a very nice drunk. I'm just saying. But it's what happens when we allow those things to overcome us. And then afterwards, we're sorry. And remember, it says he made an edict that cannot be changed. She can't come back. So when I read some stuff and they said that they were worried that Vashti would come back and reprimand these guys, that's not true because Vashti could not come back. She could not come back in the presence of the king. That's just the way that the law was. That is messed up. Again, another messed up thing about all of this. He remembered what she had done and what had been decreed against her. Then the king's servants who attended him, guess who these guys are? The same ones that put Vashti in the place that she's in. These are the same people. I have an idea. Okay, let me tell you, I got a great idea. I think, how about if we just let beautiful young virgins be sought for the king and let the king appoint officials, officers in all the provinces of his kingdom that they may gather all the beautiful young virgins to Shushan the citadel into the women's quarters under the custody of Haggai. Under the custody of Haggai. We're going to see some more about him. The king's eunuch. So he was protected from doing anything bad to the women. Custodian of the women, and let beauty preparations be given them. Then let the young woman who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. This, and what happens? The king's sitting there like, well, I don't know. I don't know if that's a very good. What do you think he said? Oh, now that's an idea. Bring them all the concubines he has. All the women that he has, and it's a great idea for him to go out and gather up and not really traffic, but kidnap the virgins. Not just the young women, but the virgins. And imagine going to places, these guys going to places, and here's this virgin. She's of the right age, but she's not beautiful. Imagine, I don't know if that person would be thankful or not realizing what was coming upon them, but that person that wasn't very attractive not being picked to go before the king. You see, there's the difference in not saying that putting King he is a harassmus. Xerxes, let's call him Xerxes. We'll do that. It's easier. Now I forgot totally what I was going to say. So about the ugly ones. I wasn't speaking about the ugly ones. We don't want to liken King Xerxes to be like our king, because he's just a human king, and it shows all the frailties of his humanness. And so when we go before the king, when we are invited, all of us are invited to go before the king. All of us. It doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't matter what size we are. Remember the goblets? It doesn't matter what size we are. It doesn't matter what shape we are. It doesn't matter how confused sometimes we get in our brain. It doesn't matter because the king calls us all. He calls us all to himself. And so the king was pleased with this. So in Shushan, the citadel, there was a certain Jew. There was a certain Jew. I hope that you, when you look at the scriptures, that you look at certain words. And you look at it and you go, I want to find out more about that word. And I want to find out more about that word certain. There was a certain man. And study it on your own. On a certain day, at a certain time, at a certain place, as a certain angel came to a certain woman and said a certain thing, you are going to learn how individual we are. I am a certain person. I am a particular person. We are all individuals. Aren't you glad that on a certain day, a certain God sent a certain person to you to say a certain thing that triggered a certain response in you, and he certainly called you? Aren't you glad? And we want to look at those things. So this certain person was called, this certain Jew, whose name was Mordecai. And what does his name mean? One who is concerned. Thank you so much, because it's in my notes on this page and not on this page. One who is concerned. And so he was the son of Jair, the son of Shammai, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Kish had been, and then explained, how did they get there? Kish had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives who had been captured with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, so that makes them cousins, right? For she had neither father nor mother. She was an orphan. The young woman was lovely and beautiful. And when her father and mother died, we don't know if she saw the death of her father and mother. We don't know. But it was a traumatic thing in her life to not have parents, to be orphaned. But she has the Holy Spirit. No matter if you are orphaned, no matter if you are orphaned, no matter if you don't have anyone in your family. That was the best English I think you've probably heard recently. It doesn't matter who you don't have when you have the Holy Spirit. You've got it all. You've got all you need. And God calls us all. Mordecai took her as his own daughter. And so it was, when the king's command and decree were heard, and when many young women were gathered at Shushan the citadel, under the custody of Haggai. Haggai's name means my meditation. My meditation. So under the custody of my meditation. And Esther also was taken to the king's palace into the care of my meditation, the custodian of women. She was taken to that place. The first thing that Esther had to learn was submission. The first thing she had to learn was submission, to submit to this whole idea. Again, we don't know how she felt. Into the care of my meditation, the custodian of the women. I want to say something about her name. Hadassah, we know that Esther means star, hidden star. Hadassah means myrtle. And the myrtle plant is an evergreen shrub. It ever gives life. It has glossy foliage, white flowers that turn into dark purple oval berries. The oil from this plant is used as an antiseptic. How is this oil derived? Through crushing. It has to be crushed. And that's what her name means, that she would be one that would put off that fragrance, that antiseptic. She is coming against the devil himself. That is coming against the Jews. She doesn't know that yet. But so she is a hidden star that brings life because of her purity, that brings her into royalty, but it only happens through crushing. Do you realize how much more we are changed by hard things in our life? We are much more changed by the hard things in our life. I often go to God when I have hard times going on. When things are going really great, I'm kind of, oh, did I say that out loud? Do I forget to thank him? Do I invest as much time thanking him for the fact that things are going well as I did in complaining about how bad things are? God calls us to that. And so it is through that crushing. This is not obviously not an easy time for Esther, but God is using her for the protection of his people. And so we look at this, and so now the young woman, verse 9, the young woman pleased him, and she obtained his favor, Haggai's favor. And so he readily gave beauty preparations to her besides her allowance. And then 7 choice maidservants were provided for her from the king's palace. And he moved her and her maidservants to the best palace in the house of women. So it is the work of the Holy Spirit that brings us into the king, brings us to the king, helps us to accept, and then prepares us to be the bride of Christ. So it's the Holy Spirit's work in that. And this time is, you know what, the Lord's not telling me to go there. I have something in my notes, and I went over it last night, and I was just kind of like, yes, I think this is the, no, but no, it's not the direction. So if you want to know what it is, you can talk to me later. So the first thing that Esther learned was submission. She is coming under the care of Haggai, my meditations. Who is caring for your spiritual health? Who is caring for your spiritual health right now? We worry about the virus right now. We worry about so much. By the way, it's Super Tuesday. This is a Super Tuesday. I'm not talking about the election. I'm talking about the fact that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice. I will be glad, and I am not going to worry about these elections. I am not going to worry about the virus. Am I going to be wise? Of course. Am I going to pray on what the Lord would have me do? Yes. But I'm not going to let it steal my joy. So who is caring for your spiritual health right now? And so what are we meditating on? Are we meditating on the virus? Are we meditating on the election? Or are we meditating on the Word of God? We must meditate on the Word of God. When my kids were little, and it happened, I think, probably with every one of our kids, when they were really little, they would find our Bible. And what happens when they're little? Everything goes in the mouth. So we made a joke about it that they found the word and did eat it. And so they got it into them. But we're not talking about getting the word into us in that way. That's not the kind of thing that we're talking about. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." We need to know the word of God, and we are learning the word of God. And I commend you guys for the way that you study, for the way that you look into the word, for the way that you are in your Bible, for the way that you're writing scriptures, for the way that you are drawing close to the Lord. I commend you for that. It will cause you to grow. And it will change us. And so how can the word move us into the best house? So she's under my meditation. She's being moved into the best house and the best provisions. How can we get that from the word of God? God's word is to bless your life. We have to take heed to it. It blesses our life. It blesses our business. It blesses our marriages. It blesses our living. We have to walk with the Lord. God will provide all your needs according to his riches in glory, and that provision is changing you from glory to glory. It is changing you from glory to glory. The Lord wants to promote you. Haggai moved her to the best house along with her 7 best maidservants. Promotion comes neither from the east nor the west nor the south, but promotion comes from the Lord, Psalm 75:6. God wants to promote you. Now, in verse 10, Esther had not revealed her people or family, for Mordecai had charged her not to reveal it. She couldn't reveal that she was a Jew. She wouldn't have been allowed in the palace, and God had a purpose for her life. She has already learned obedience. She has already learned submission. And sometimes the Holy Spirit lets us in on some information, and we just want to tell everybody about it, and the Lord says, no, no, that's just for you. This is what you're doing, and this is what I want you to do, the Lord says to us. To me, he said, just says, shut up, Joy. Sometimes we just have to keep things hidden, only at the direction of the Lord. She is the hidden star of our story. And so now we go into an everyday Mordecai paced in front of the court of the women's quarters to learn of Esther's welfare and what was happening to her. That's why we're calling him the Holy Spirit. He is always there, even though she can't see him pacing out there. Even though she might not know that he's out there, he's always there. He's in the king's gate. He is at the gate of the city. He is there watching over her and paying attention to everything that's going on. And so as they go along there, now in verse 12 through 14, it's going to tell us what's going to happen to every woman that's going through this. It's not in succession. Now this is the next thing that happened. It's telling us what happened to each young woman. So each young woman's turn came to go into the king Xerxes after she had completed 12 months preparations according to the regulations of the women, for thus were the days of their preparation appropriated, 6 months with the oil of myrrh, 6 months with perfumes and preparations for beautifying women. Thus prepared, each woman went to the king, and she was given whatever she desired to take with her from the women's quarters to the king's palace. And in the evening, she went and in the morning, she returned to the second house of the women, to the custody of Shazgaz. Shazgaz's name means the one who weans. The one who weans. When you're taking away things that need to be taken away the things of the past so that they can look to the future. So they will be moving into that house. The king's eunuch who kept the concubine, she would not go into the king again unless the king delighted in her and called her by name. And so here we have what is going to happen in this and what Esther is going to do. So now when the turn came, I want to talk first of all about this anointing oil that was going on. 6 months of myrrh, 6 months of being anointed with myrrh. The myrrh would be it would be mashed up and it would be mixed with the olive oil, and then it would be slathered on. But this speaks of the anointing oil from Exodus 30:23. When we get into, so there were 6 months of myrrh and the olive oil, and it has a wonderful fragrance. Myrrh had to be mashed to be fragrant, and it's bitter to the taste, but extremely fragrant. So that would smell so good in there. And so we all experience that in life, bitter things that we have to endure, that when all the mashing and all the trial is over and God has done his work, we can look back on it and go, oh, I know I'm putting off a fragrance of Christ because of where I've been, because of what I've done, because of what's been going on here. We are talking about the anointing oil. We are talking about the rough times in our life when we feel that we have been mashed up and we have to be mixed with the olive oil. How is olive oil derived? Pressure. Pressure. And we come out of that 6 months smelling really great. But we don't want to don't want to eat it. Okay, we all experience those things, and it taught us, me so much, and it benefits others because others can sense my fragrance, and I'm giving off the fragrance of Christ. The other things that were in it were, and again, that's found in Exodus 30, 23. The other parts of that anointing oil were sweet cinnamon. And you know, if you're a baker, you know that cinnamon, number one, if you put it on your finger and you put it in on your tongue, bleh, it does not taste good. It tastes bitter. But you can put it with anything and make that sweet. I don't know how that works, but it speaks of the joys and the blessings of life that help us endure the bitter. The joys and the blessings of life that help us endure the bitter. And then it was calamus. This plant scents the air while it's growing. The tiniest plant has a fragrance, and the taller it grows, the more fragrant it is. Every level of maturity carries a fragrance from our lives. And then it has cassia. This plant only grows on high elevations, and it has a purple flower. And that purple flower, of course, stands for that royalty that we have in Christ. It also stands for our identity in Christ, that we are a king's kid, and it only grows on the mountaintops, only grows at those high places. And so, in other words, just as Esther, every one of us must allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into situations that seem unpleasant sometimes to the taste, sometimes to the smell, sometimes small, such as the little plant, sometimes glorious as the large plant, but we must allow these situations to spice our life so that we can become a blessing to others. It's all about the others. In verse 9, it says that there were the seven choice maidservants are going in to do the anointing. It was the maidservants that were doing the anointing. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the very people that bring myrrh into my life and the cinnamon and the cassia and the calamus and whatever that last one was, and they're the people that we want would rather turn the other way. We would rather dismiss them and not realizing that God is using them as tools in our life. He's using other people as tools in our life. That's what Jesus meant when he said, bless your enemies. We need enemies in our life to grow us up. We need those people who really don't particularly, we don't want to sit down and have a cup of coffee with them. But we need them, and they need us. So, every day, the Holy Spirit is back in our lives saying, how you doing today? Understanding the word today, Holy Spirit back in there. Okay, so in verse 13, okay, we already talked about it speaking to all the women. She's being changed. She's being from glory to glory. Understand this, and I know we all do. There are periods of time in our lives when it seems like everything is going against us. Everything is going against us. If we can see that at a higher level with the eyes of faith in the midst of it. Psalm 138 says, the Lord will perfect. 138:8, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. And Psalm 4:1, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. The Lord has grown me up. And so in verse 15, now when the turn came for Esther and the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter to go into the king, she requested nothing but what Haggai, my meditation, the word of God, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women, advised. And so, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. So Esther comes to the point after she's been through all of the purification, and like all the others, she can take whatever she feels she needs. What did the other people take? Maybe they took jewelry. Maybe they took extra makeup. Maybe they took silk dresses. Maybe they took all of these other things. But we see with Esther that she said, and I'm going to paraphrase it, Lord, I just want to take what you want me to have. I just want to take what you want me to have. And so when she goes in, she's learned that submission. I only want what you want for me. When the beauty that the Lord has put upon us is all on which we depend, it will so enhance our whole being that others will see Christ and they will glory him because they see him in us. That's the purpose. I need a purpose for what I'm going through. I need a reason for my struggle, and it is to glorify the name of God. It is to glorify him. And then it says that she obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. So Esther was taken to the king, Ahasuerus, into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth. In the 7th month of the reign, the king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor. She did not attain grace and favor, because when you attain something, you have to work for it. She has not worked for it. She has allowed the Holy Spirit to work in her and through her, and she has obtained mercy and grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, and so he set the royal crown upon her head. Grace is that unmerited favor. We can never rise to a level where we earn his grace. Everything we are for the rest of our lives cannot repay the debt that we owe to Christ. Esther comes before the king, and he accepts her. She doesn't know what to expect, though. She's walking in, and she doesn't know what to expect. She hasn't been here before. This is new ground for her. She's young. She's vulnerable. And isn't it just like us? We all want to know, I want to walk with you, Lord. I want to give you my whole self. I don't want to take anything with me. I want to give you my whole self. But could you just give me steps 1, 2, 3, and 4 first? I don't want to take that first step unless I know what else is going on. And that may be the place that she was at. She could have been fearful in him. If I give myself wholly to Christ, what will he ask for? What will he do? Fear will keep us from coming to Christ and being wholly and completely sold out, because God wants what's best for us. And she stands before the presence of the king, and he crowned her queen. There are 5 different crowns. Was this in your homework, the 5 crowns? Okay, I'm going to go through it quickly. Job 29:14, good judgment. Psalm 65:11. God's goodness. 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20. We are crowned with rejoicing. 2 Timothy 4:8. We are crowned with righteousness. And Revelation 2:10. We are crowned with life. And so he has crowned her. And he invites everybody. So what happens then? Which one? First one, Job 29:14, good judgment. Last one, Revelation 2:10, crown us with life. 2 Timothy 4:8 is righteousness. Okay, we got them all? If not, oh. Job 29:14, good judgment. Psalm 65:11, God's goodness. 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20, crown of rejoicing. 2 Timothy 4:8, the crown of righteousness. And Revelation 2:10, the crown of life. Okay, we're going to wrap up now. And that's what Bill says all the time. And I'm doing the same thing that he did. So it says that he made and the king made, verse 18, the king made a great feast, the feast of Esther, for all his officials and servants. He invited everybody to come, no reason to keep the guest list down. and he proclaimed a holiday in the provinces and gave gifts according to the generosity of a king. And those gifts were he stopped taxes, or he lowered taxes so that everybody could come and be a part of that. Verse 19, I am stuck with, guys. I hate verse 19. I looked it up every way that I could because I wanted to make it something better. I wanted to give this king some credit for having some goodness in him. However, verse 19, when virgins were gathered together a second time, Mordecai was sitting in the gate. That's the important thing of it. But when you look at verse 19, it makes me want to say, why is that there? And everything I looked up said this exact same thing. Such was the lust of the king that even though he had a queen he loved, a multitude, and a queen he loved, and a multitude of concubines, another set of virgins were brought in for his gratification. That is messed up. But remember the spiritual climate that they are in. So, now Esther had not revealed her family and her people, just as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther obeyed, and we know all about that. And Mordecai, as when she was brought up, she had already learned to obedience and submission. In those days, while Mordecai sat within the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bigthan, remember him from the first one, and Teresh, doorkeepers, nothing but doorkeepers, became furious and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And so let me tell you something about these guys really quickly. Bigthan is the same as Bigtha that was in the first part, and his name, but Bigthan means in their wine press. In their wine press. Teresh means in possession. In possession. This merely identifies them as the world. They were simply doorkeepers. In Psalm 84:10, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And so that's where they are at. They are dwelling in the tents of wickedness. And so what happens in those days, they came there, and Mordecai heard about it, so the matter became known to Mordecai. Mordecai told Esther. Esther informed the king, and when all the inquiry was made into the matter, it was confirmed, and both were hanged on a gallows, and it was written in the book of Chronicles in the presence of the king. And then it says, after these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman. That's what chapter 3 starts with. Mordecai was not rewarded. But you see, God positioned him in the gate at that particular time so that he would hear that. And he has positioned Esther in the place that she's at so that she can get to the king, so that the message can go, and so that it can be written down in the book of the Chronicles. And so later on, we'll see that the king can't sleep. And so he says, bring me the book of the Chronicles and read it to me. Later on, we'll see that Mordecai will be rewarded. See, rewards don't come right away. Usually. We have rewards coming that God has for us. And so many years later, Xerxes is killed in an assassination plot. But not today. Not today. God's own purposes are going to be fulfilled. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that we can just lay down the stuff, Lord, that hinders us from following closely behind you. We want to lay aside all of this stuff, Lord. We want to bring glory to your name. We want to learn that submission. We want to learn obedience, Lord. We want to learn what it is to be slathered with this anointing oil, Lord, that we might be a sweet-smelling savor to you and to the world around us, Lord, that all men would be drawn to you because of what we do and what we say and how we act. And we thank you, Father, for it. We thank you. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. I will see you next week. but have a great time in your small groups.
Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up.